We're joined by State Treasurer John Chung, a Democratic candidate for governor. Welcome.
Happy to be with you.
Of all the candidates that are running right now, four Democrats, including yourself, two Republicans, why do you think you would be the best of all of them?
Integrity and effectiveness. You know, who's doing the job that you get elected to? Who's focused on making sure that Californians have the best state, whether it's healthcare, education, job creation, and who's going to fight for them every moment of the day?
Is that a contrast to some of the other candidates?
Clearly.
How so?
If you look at who's been fighting, we have a housing crisis in the state of California. Had the good fortune as the state treasurer to increase over the past few years new and rehabilitated housing development by 126%. We can promise what we're going to do as governor, but where have you been and why haven't you worked on it?
Let's begin the discussion by talking about the congressional tax reform bill in Washington. So the president and Congress appear pretty likely to pass an overhaul of the federal tax code in the coming weeks. As a Democrat, I'm sure you oppose the bill. As a Californian, you're probably concerned about some of the provisions that would limit how much state and local taxes could be deducted. But I'd like to ask you a practical question. If it passes, and if, as seems likely, it has some effect on California's economy and the state budget, what would you do as governor to offset those impacts?
Well, it's a massive cost shift, to shorten what you pointed out. And again, back to that original point of integrity, we talk about how we're going to take on President Trump. I offered specific ideas on how do you take on President Trump in what particular areas. Again, in regards to housing, the House bill included the elimination of the tax deductibility of private activity bonds. I know it's technical, but we finance two-thirds of our affordable housing in the state of California through the use of private activity bonds. Do you not want increased healthcare costs? Right, we use those private activity bonds to build hospitals, airports, other types of infrastructure here in the state of California. And so what are we going to do? When President Trump took office, we looked at a loss of funding for community clinics. Community clinics here in the state of California serve one in every seven Californians, principally women, women of color, low income. As the state treasurer, I found some money. We went to the legislature, repurposed that money so that we could provide some seed funds to community clinics so that they can try to figure out how they're going to keep their doors open in the era of President Trump. So real specific solutions to address the critical issues impacting Californians.
And so looking at that, what do you do if a hole is blown in the state budget and the economy starts to turn sour? If, as seems likely at this point, the tax bill gets through?
I've been there. Right. I was the state controller that helped California during those very difficult financial straits. The ratings agencies put in their state credit reports. We liked the way the controller, that was me back then, handles money. I pushed for greater accountability and transparency. Unfortunately, when the governor and legislature don't make the difficult decisions, we run out of cash or we run low on cash. That's when I had to issue 450,000 IOUs to the tune of $2.6 billion to try to prevent California from defaulting on debt. Right? What I would immediately do is that I bring all the legislative leadership and all the most active partners in regards to the education community, the healthcare community, the corrections communities, where we spend the three largest categories of our general funds, into the room and saying, we're going to have to work together to try to get California through these difficult times.
But how? I mean, are there specific? Do you need to look at cuts? Do you need to look at taxes?
You have to look at everything on the table, right? So, during that last time, think about it. 5 years ago, we were still in financial crisis. Now, much to the credit of Governor Brown. We communicated to Governor Brown 5 years ago in 2012. We were running short of cash, right? They were going to have to do something so that we didn't have another 2009 situation. He worked with the relative interested parties to make sure that we got through those difficult times. They made spending cuts. They also passed tax increases, Proposition 30. And so today, California has made great progress in regards to addressing our financial situation. That's something else I would aggressively push. We still have long-term obligations, and they are hefty. And so I want to make sure that California continues to be fiscally responsible to address the critical issues so that when we have that next downturn in the economy, it's not going to be as painful as it could be.
One of the things that you did during the budget crisis that drew praise and criticism was you docked lawmakers pay when in the first year that Jerry Brown was governor, 2011, he vetoed a budget that they sent over saying, as you agreed, that it wasn't balanced. Now, under Proposition 25 that voters passed just before that, that was what gave you the power to do so. But then when the legislature challenged you in court, not to recoup pay for that instance, but to set the precedent for future, court said, no, you were wrong.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. So I was trying to enforce the will of the voters of California. The California voters were frustrated that year after year, the governor and legislature did not come up with a timely and balanced budget. And so when the voters passed Proposition 25, we interpreted that they had to pass a timely, balanced budget. And the budget wasn't balanced. The very next day, Governor Brown said, this budget's out of balance. I'm going to veto it. We enforced what they said. The judge said, hey, the legislature gets to decide. The person who decides it's unbalanced is also the governor can. And we said, in fact, the governor did declare that it was unbalanced and he vetoed it. As governor, I would do the same thing. And I would act early. And frankly, a difference in leadership style, I would bring in the legislature so we wouldn't get to that point, saying this is what we need to do. Let's work on and identify our priorities. Education, healthcare, job creation, the environment are absolutely critical to me. Let's not get to that point where we wait till the very last minute and pass things that don't work.
We're talking with State Treasurer John Chung, one of four Democrats running for governor next year to replace termed-out Governor Jerry Brown. On health care, many progressive Democrats strongly support single-payer health care. When asked about single-payer at a previous candidate forum back in October, you talked about phasing it in gradually rather than all at once. But I don't know if I actually heard you that day say whether you support or oppose single-payer health care. So what is your position on it?
So two things. I support universal care. I believe all Californians should be covered. And I support the approach of single-payer. They want to eliminate the inefficiencies that exist in the system. So I support both. You also raised that point, and I said that I want to make sure that we're truthful with the residents of the state of California, right? How much is it going to cost? Anytime you're going to change the systems or you're going to provide services or programs, I think what's important is that we are transparent, we're accessible, and we're accountable. And if we're going to bring in a new healthcare system, then we ought to tell people how much it's going to cost and how we're going to pay for it.
How much would it cost? How would you pay for it?
Well, part of it is we're going to have to measure the services going forward, right? That's what you had with the Affordable Care Act. There was a huge debate as to what services would be included, what not would not be included, right? They included 10 core areas. We're going to have to decide if we're going to have 10 core areas. Are we going to have 15 core areas? Are we going to have 7 core areas? And then price it out, look at individual line items such as Medi-Cal reimbursement rates. Are we going to keep them? Are we going to increase them? How that changes the equation, and then, you know, how much the current system brings in. And we're going to have to be truthful, right? The huge component of this is we get tens of billions of dollars from the federal government. And with the discussion and debate taking place in Washington, D.C., whether they give us the current amount or the discussion's, 70% of the amount, or will they go back to historical reimbursement or amounts at 50%, that is a huge unknown. And so that ought to be part of the debate and discussion, depending on how much we're going to get in contributions from the federal government, what services are we going to provide, how much of it are we going to cover, 10%, 100%, right, clarity, and then put that system in place.
So, of course, single payer and universal are not the same. Universal is where everyone is covered, and single payer is there is a single provider, right?
That's correct.
A single payer of healthcare. You support both?
Yes.
Is there a way within the realm of single payer that you want to do it that you think could earn more support than maybe some of the proposals out there now?
We'll have that discussion, right? We're going to have to bring in the interested parties, right? The speakers having those hearings, trying to fully put meat on the bones as to what would be required for single payer. I would review all those notes, have separate conversations, right? Have my senior staff work on all those things to see where we can find common ground. That's what leadership is, bringing people to the table, hammering it out.
The issue dominating California politics and government right now, not far from us here at the state capitol, is the issue of sexual harassment.
Yes.
Just this week, the cover of Time magazine had a California lobbyist who is one of the leaders of the letter with more than 100 women who signed it that really kicked off this issue in discussion here in Sacramento. And that has led to 3 lawmakers so far being named by women as having sexually harassed or assaulted them. Talk about what you believe must be done in Sacramento and in California politics as a whole.
Well, clearly we are going to have to change the culture. You've had past practices where they have allowed for abuses, where women have not felt secure, where they haven't felt supported, where they don't feel that they have access to the resources. We haven't had the proper education that has connected with individuals to transform and change their behavior. And so I'm going to be incredibly tough, right? As you pointed out, I'm the first, and hopefully others will join me in putting forward a policy to address sexual harassment, not only to change the culture in Sacramento, but to change the culture in the United States of America, right? We have to have zero tolerance.
One of the things that's been remarkable so far in this gubernatorial campaign is the lack of personal attacks among the candidates. At the candidate forum that I covered this fall, the most I heard was one candidate characterize another's support for single payer as pie in the sky. But recently, you launched what I believe is the only attack website so far in this race, which is attacking the frontrunner, Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom. Why did you put that site up?
Right, it's not our, you know, our interpretation of things. Right, the you know, that first piece was comparing and contrasting financial management leadership skills in the state of California. So, you know, that first piece we used from a independent journalist, not affiliated with the campaign, printed a long time ago, citing the San Francisco Comptroller's review of the management and accountability practices of San Francisco. We ought to have a healthy debate and discussion about what we offer, what our vision, what our track record, what our experience is. And so we said to individuals, take a look at the article, right? And you can draw your own conclusions.
Finally, Treasurer Chung, the latest poll shows that you're in a third-place tie at 9% with Gavin Newsom at 23%, former Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa at 18%. How do you catch up?
Well, we're in fourth place. Number one is undecided, right? You have a huge swath of the voters who, frankly, haven't paid attention. They're focused on other types of issues. Gavin's numbers, right, he's ahead, but his numbers are dropping. Antonio is slightly increasing, and so we feel good, right? In campaigns, you start to move the numbers when you start spending money, and we think we have a very compelling message, right? The only person who have served in all 3 financial offices, who fought for California, the Democrat who stood up, progressive on social issues, and also who can balance a checkbook, right? And I think my values, my philosophy, my work building more housing, financing education is going to resonate very strongly with the voters of California.
State Treasurer John Chung, formerly state controller, former member of the Board of Equalization, as you referenced there, one of 4 Democrats running for governor next year. Thank you for coming in.
Happy to spend time with you.